Hi, and welcome to the first installment of Up Late with Too Much Caffeine. I'm Up Late.
And I've had too much caffeine.
And today we're gonna start off with the recent flu shot epidemic. It's kind of odd, but essentially what's happening is people who are getting the flu shot, they're getting the flu like a week later and dying.
Same strain.
Yeah, same exact strain. So, I mean, I don't know too much about this, but I think it should protect them. But what happened is my aunt died this morning from the flu, and she had gotten the shot a week earlier. And I don't know, I've never really heard of that happening.
No.
But it's just odd that it should work. And I'm not too big into conspiracy theories, but honestly, this could be kind of a government depopulation thing.
Makes a lot of sense.
I mean,
well, then they said that it takes 2 weeks for it to take effect.
True.
Which doesn't make a whole lot of sense that it would take 2 weeks for your body to build up an immunity to that single strain.
It's a weak strain, so at least your body should build up some sort of tolerance, right?
To where you're not deathly ill from it.
Exactly.
I mean, I could see bedridden for maybe a day.
Yeah, but dying from it? It's spreading to your heart and just done?
And it's killing teenagers, too, which are much stronger.
To an extent, but you gotta realize teenagers, their
immune systems are stronger, though.
But they're also stupid. They don't get enough sleep and they have too much caffeine.
That's very true.
So we're in trouble. Yeah. Although technically, I just turned 20, so I'm not a teenager anymore. So by teenager rationale, I am safe.
I am not. Too much caffeine and I'm a teenager.
Oh, you're screwed.
I am doubly screwed. I actually did get over, I'm starting to get over being sick.
But was it the flu, do you think? Were you throwing up or was it just chills and...
I felt like I was going to throw up, but I don't know, it was just kind of more of just how I felt.
Felt shitty.
Yeah, but I did end up sleeping a lot. I didn't force myself to stay up or do anything. If anyone was going to call me for basketball or anything, I was going to say no.
Well, it's lucky you woke up.
That's very true. That's very true.
But as far as this whole conspiracy thing goes, I've been saying we need to depopulate this country for so long.
Yeah.
I mean, personally, I think that's the reason they won't take as many soldiers out of, you know, Iraq and Afghanistan, the Middle East. Now, they say it's because, you know, we have to rebuild and, you know, help them get back on their feet after we pushed them down. But, well, I get that, but I think if we brought that many people, I mean, how many people are deployed? If we brought them back into an already tough job market, that would either screw them over, or they'd have to kick people out, or give people less hours. And in this economy, that's just not going to work.
No.
Although, let me say something about the economy. I don't think it's hitting people as hard as people say.
It really has. I mean, I found a new job.
Same here. I've got
less than September.
Yeah. I've had two jobs in... Or no. The economy started downturning when we were sophomores, right?
About 4 or 6 years ago, 6 years ago, something like that.
Yeah, so around that time is when it really started to go.
Middle of Bush's term.
Yeah.
That last one.
Okay, let me just say a quick something about Bush. I'm not really going to defend his politics, but all I'm saying is that I think people should cut him a break, because...
I like the man.
You know what? I was too young at that point, and I really don't follow politics enough. All I'm saying is... Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative, he was dealt a shitty hand.
Both him and Obama have been dealt shitty hands.
Yeah.
It's difficult to judge what they can do if they're not given a very easy way to go about doing it.
Exactly. But I mean, they're the president, that's what they're there for, make the tough decisions.
And to be a scapegoat for the House and Senate.
Let's be honest, they're just a puppet.
For the most part.
And now that we got a black president, you know, just take what Chris Rock said in, what was it, the second Rush Hour movie? Follow the rich white man. But no, all I'm saying is, after 9/11, you know, it was such, like I said, I didn't follow the whole situation, I was so young. But it's either kind of lay down and take it, or... try and kick their ass, but it was so up in the air. Let's get back to the whole quote-unquote conspiracy thing. I've been saying we need to depopulate for a long time.
Yeah.
You know I have.
Yeah.
I just think that's the wrong way to go about it.
Yeah, well, there's a much easier way to go about it.
Prisons. There you go.
There we go.
Now, again, I'm not going to say that people can't be rehabilitated. I was talking about this with Mom a while ago, and,
I believe we actually had this discussion.
Wait, you were with her about the book?
No, but we've had this sort of discussion about, Sweden, or something like that, that has the different prisons where they're much nicer.
Yep.
And, I'll get back to stuff like that.
Well, essentially, the story my mom told me, when she was in high school, she read this autobiography called, I think it was called One Bad Dude. And it was about this guy who, he was obviously one bad dude. He went to prison for a long time, got his life around, found religion, and he actually spoke at their school.
Yeah.
And here's the really cool part. A couple years later, my mom was on her own, and her and her friend were living, trying to find a new place. So they move in with one of their friend's friends, so it's four of them living in the house. And my mom was just looking around one night, and she finds this picture. And she notices that it's the guy she's renting from, as well as the guy who wrote One Bad Dude. Turns out that was the dude's father.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that just goes to prove, just because someone did something wrong, they can't be rehabilitated. But in our prison system, where it's more about punishing them than rehabilitating them,
it makes it so they can't be rehabilitated.
Exactly.
Because they're not going to like the system because of the way that they're treated.
Yeah. But also, like you said, Sweden, wasn't there a cat program you were talking about?
Yeah, where they,
Here, give me one second. I got to be true to my namesake here. Some caffeine. Or your namesake, I suppose.
More of a shared, but... where if they're good enough, they are given a cat to which they can take care of. And it actually does rehabilitate people better than being set to solitary confinement just by having an extra companion in a sort.
And sort of a responsibility.
Yeah.
That's the whole, generally the whole point of community service. Essentially getting them back into the community and giving them something to care about. Because that's what you need.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, take the very stereotypical story of, you know, most gang members and from the inner city, you know, they always say, oh, you ever watch Gangland?
Yeah.
You'll know what I'm talking about. They say, you know, oh, I needed somewhere to belong or mm-hmm. it wasn't safe or something like that.
Which is understandable.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that's how gangs were formed. In the United States, to my understanding, again, I have a very loose understanding of damn near everything, but it was generally for protection against minorities. But it's not the minorities you think of today. It was European minorities, mainly the Irish, because...
They're a feisty bunch.
Yeah, not only that, but they were extremely scrutinized against. I'd say not so much as African Americans, but more so kind of how Mexicans are treated, or Latinos. Stealing jobs kind of stuff, mm-hmm. crime. And that was the stereotypical view of the Irish. And so they started gangs so that people wouldn't hassle them, and so they could be protected. But then, you know, you see an opportunity to make money, and with money comes corruption.
Yeah.
And there you go. But back to the whole prison thing and depopulation, I think it's safe to say that there are some people that cannot be rehabilitated.
Yeah.
Now, a while ago, I took a psych class, and we were talking about mental illness. And we saw this video of people in prison, all of them with mental illness, and it showed them when they were on their pills and off their pills. This is the most crazy, just
change. Drastic difference.
Exactly. You have someone talking, level-headed, smart-sounding guy, and then some guy whipping shit at a camera for, you know, just so he could piss people off.
It's amazing.
Yeah. But like I said, I believe it's safe to say that a lot of these pieces of shit can't be really rehabilitated.
But where do you draw the line?
Exactly. And that's...
See, where I think you draw the line is people that have been put in there for life. Basically people that are up for necessarily the death sentence. But people that have been in there are put in there without any chance of getting out. Their case is completely closed. Maybe not 100% confirmed, but they can't bring up any new evidence. And they have no chance for parole. They're just going to be sitting in prison, rotting away, using tax money, getting 3 meals a day, but getting taken care of pretty well. Usually the people that are in there for life are in gangs, are, I would say, higher up, most times.
A lot of the times they're respected more so.
Yeah, because they're in there for life because they did something bad, or were accused of something bad and convicted of it.
Or they just keep doing stupid shit in the prison.
Getting the respect of others.
Yeah, exactly. But
those people should be taken out, in my opinion.
Now, okay, I want to agree with you here, but the only reason I don't is because I really like the Green Mile. No, but I watch a lot of Lock Up.
Yeah.
And from what I've seen, generally the people who are in there for life are the ones that become, you know, better people. I'm religious.
Yeah.
But you know as well, I don't believe religion makes someone a good person.
Mm-hmm.
You know my experiences with this. We might get into that later. I don't know how personal I want to get. But especially in a prison, I think if you do find God, because I mean, what else do they have?
Not a whole lot, and it helps. It's basically what religion is just a way for people to get through life, is to have some sort of guidance and to help them get through some hard times. I mean, without it, what would you pray to, in a sense, to help you get through things? Just to give you a glimmer of hope that something good will happen. Like, say you get cancer or something. You're going to pray to God or some other form of something to help you get through it. Now, is that necessarily going to get you? Is it going to do anything? Nobody knows for sure. But it gives you that sense of hope, and maybe that hope makes your body work a little better at getting rid of it.
Well, you know, it is proven that people who are in higher spirits are more likely of recovering from something like that.
Yeah.
You know I don't believe religion makes someone a better person.
Yeah.
But when you have some... Oh, I remember what I was going to say. One argument I was going by when I was trying to... You know I'm always looking to be a smartass.
More often than not.
Exactly. And one argument I was trying to persuade people with was that, you know, they say, oh, you can't do this, and it says the Bible, you can't do this, can't do that.
Yeah.
And it says in the Bible, you know, you can't eat shellfish, can't eat pork, you know, anything with a cloven hoof.
Yeah.
Or that, you know, if anyone touched a dead body, they had to leave for a day and bathe or something. Women on their periods, they couldn't go near anyone. They had to sit in a tent on, like, a bed of straw for 3 days.
Okay.
And this wasn't because, oh, you know, pork is evil or shellfish. It's because they're bottom feeders and they're dirty. And it was more about safety than anything.
Makes sense.
And the main argument is that when Jesus came, there was a new covenant with God. But my point is that it is a self-help book, technically. You could look at it that way, I mean.
Yeah.
And whether or not, to an extent, again, whether or not you believe in the more religious or even superstitious aspect of it, you can't deny that in most holy scriptures, whether it be Judaism, which basically is the first half of Christianity,
yeah,
and Islam, which is same...
They're all basically the same, just different prophets.
Well, actually, how it works is Judaism stemmed from Abraham. Then Abraham had... said, you know, his wife couldn't have a kid, so he had a kid with one of his concubines. Forget the name of the concubine, but his son was named Ishmael. And to my understanding, the descendants of Ishmael, the son of his concubine, went on to become members of the Muslim faith, whereas then his wife got pregnant. Those became more Jews, which later turned to Christians. Again, I have a very basic understanding of the different religions. You know, I know a little bit about everything, but not much about anything. Yeah. But that's where it all kind of stems. But either way, most of what you find in these books is something good to live by.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, whether or not you believe it, promiscuity, having sex with a shitload of different people, that's never a good thing.
But you're going to catch something.
And even if you don't, how many whores really feel good about themselves for probably more than 10 minutes at a time?
Probably none.
Exactly. Now, as far as the whole gay issue goes, you know my grandmother, she's very, very Christian.
Yeah.
And nothing she does is motivated by hate.
Well, no.
No, and you see a lot
No one of that generation is motivated by necessarily hate. It's just the way they grew up.
Yeah. And now, okay, I've heard people say, especially on the internet, I was trying to defend it on Reddit, which any even remotely conservative view is going to be shat on. But this guy says, well, anytime you're trying to limit someone's rights, it is motivated by hate. Now, I'm going to have to disagree with that. I believe that, you know, you should be able to live your own life the way you want without impeding anyone else's freedom. Now, again, there are more stipulations into it, but that's... You understand.
Neither here nor there.
Exactly. Disclaimer, etc., etc. And, it's not motivated by hate, but it's motivated by, you know, I think this is right, and this... There's so much.
Mm-hmm.
But I was having a discussion with my grandmother about the whole gay issue, and she was talking about what one of her, the pastor she listened to says. And because gays have anal sex, the pastor said, well, the anus is the sewer of the body, and you know what happens when you play in the sewer? You get sick. And then I was talking to my grandpa. Now, my grandfather, he is one of the most level-headed, calm people you'd ever meet.
Yeah.
But when he talks, when he tells a story, you're in for a story. It's like Anthony Jeselnik's comedy, except not as funny. Or no, it's funnier. He's not funny. He's just, I don't know, I don't like him. Anyways, he was talking about how, oh, you know... Now, again, this is just stuff he essentially has been taught.
Yeah.
And he says, well, being gay leads to promiscuity and such and such. Now, again, there might be some truth to that, but our society is what leads to promiscuity, let's be honest.
Yeah.
It's not gay or straight.
No, it's just how easy everything is to do, and how little it's cherished to be with only one person.
You know how I feel. It's a subject I'm kind of torn about.
Yeah.
I think waiting till marriage is a very respectable thing to do.
Very.
I think it's good. It's definitely good for the relationship.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you see, now again, this is movies and TV, but it's very stereotypical how, oh, when you get married, you don't have sex anymore. Now, again, that's neither here nor there. I think it's more about growing old.
That's more just after years and years and...
Having kids, getting tired of each other.
It just kind of... Everything just loses everything. But that's over years and years and years.
Exactly. But you got to realize, if you wait till you get married, then you have a whole new adventure to go on.
Yeah.
Now,
and that can last for many years.
Exactly.
A couple decades.
But that's not...
You have someone to experiment everything with.
And you're married, so there's no shame.
Exactly. You don't know anything, necessarily, unless you've been watching porn. But that's...
Neither here nor there.
Exactly.
That's a whole different... Okay, viewers, porn is not an accurate description of sex. For our younger viewers, that's not how it works. I've made that mistake. I think every guy has made that mistake.
You hope it will be, and it never turns out.
It's a male fantasy. It's so much different.
Enough of that.
Yeah.
Back to where we were.
That's a different type of podcast.
Yeah.
But, like I was saying, waiting for marriage is unrealistic. Because I was always taught that, you know, once you get to a... Now, this isn't when you're a teenager in high school, or maybe even college at this point. But around 2 years of being together is a good time to wait.
Yeah.
Because they say the infatuation period, kind of the puppy love period,
mm-hmm.
lasts for 3 to 6 months.
I can see that.
Yeah. And then, you know, if you're still in love with someone after 2 years, you got to realize that that's at least a year and a half of not being, oh, I love you so much. And if you don't hate them by then... Or if you're not bored of them...
There's got to be something there.
Yeah.
That at least you could take a chance on.
Exactly. But, okay, that is pretty unrealistic. Especially in our society.
Yeah. I'd say a year is a good point.
Yeah. Or I came up with this. Now, again, it's unrealistic, but I'm pretty conservative with this subject. I think you should be able to at least say, I love you. And mean it. Not none of this puppy love bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, you remember... Oh, one of my first girlfriends. We're not going to give her name out just for, I don't know, the whole legal thing, but let's call her Ick. I don't know if I ever told you this, but what she would do is, of course, she started saying, I love you after, like, fucking two. We only went out for a couple months, but after 2 weeks, she started saying it. And I was uncomfortable with it, but I'm not going to say, you know, first girlfriend, I was in 10th grade. I wasn't a popular guy, obviously. But after 2 weeks, I'm not going to say, you know, you're okay.
Yeah.
You're the best I could get.
Once someone says it, it makes everything uneasy.
Either you have to say it or you're done.
Yeah.
Essentially.
And after 2 weeks, you don't want to not say it and be done because you don't know where it's going.
Exactly. But here's what she would do. She wouldn't, when we texted, now she would text me fucking constantly.
Which has its ups and downs.
But here's the thing. She would call me in the morning before school and wake my mother up. And I told her, hey, you can't do this anymore, you're waking my mom up. She would still do it. Now, okay, fine, I can almost understand that because I was her first boyfriend, she was my first girlfriend. You know, you want to spend as much time as you can.
Yeah.
But then one night, the night we got Gimli, our dog, I texted her saying, hey, I'm going to spend some time with my family, I'll text you later. I didn't text her for an hour. She sends me 6 text messages saying, where are you? What are you doing? You know, bullshit like that. Mm-hmm. And she texts my sister.
That's too clingy.
Yeah. But okay, I guess what she would do instead of typing out, I love you. I-L-Y.
That is not saying I love you.
No, that's...
It's a lazy form.
That's not even a lazy form. That's just bullshit. But either way, I think you should be able to say I love you. And mean it. Because, I mean, this is going to sound girly and, you know, stupid, but sex is definitely an emotional thing.
Yeah.
It is. And as much as you got the guy in you where you feel the need to hump everyone and everything, there has to be a connection there, I think. But...
Sometimes.
Well, yeah, I get you there.
Certain connection.
You know, Ick and Crazy Pants and the other Crazy Pants and... the other crybaby and the bossy one and the robot.
Alright, you named off a lot there.
Other than Leah, those were all my girlfriends.
Yeah?
Yeah? Yeah. It's not a lot.
It's more than me.
Well, a couple of those only lasted 2 weeks. One of them...
Still more than me.
Yeah. Well, you had... What's a good nickname for her? It.
Bitchy? Bitch crazy, face. Controlling, liar. Take your pick.
Pants on fire. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that got crazy.
That lasted too long.
But see, the thing is, especially when you're in high school, you can't say to your buddy who just got his first girlfriend, yeah, bitch is crazy.
You can, but he's not going to listen.
Yeah, and especially for guys like us who weren't that popular in high school, it's like, you got to take what you can get.
Yeah.
And you're not going to listen to that shit.
No.
And, you know, we all wanted to say, hey, and we were dropping hints, but, of course, if you would have told me, like, 2 weeks in, hey, Ick is not only disgusting, but she's also controlling, bossy, and clingy, I'd have been like, well, yeah, but...
I'll stay here and see where it goes.
Exactly. And that's the problem. But what else can you do?
Nothing.
And then look at what happened with... Oh, what's a good name for him? The Narcissist. Oh, the Human Torch. Remember that?
Yes.
The Human Torch. Yes.
That works well.
Basically, one of our buddies, essentially, he dated my sister for 3 years, on and off.
Something like that.
They broke up 4 or 5 times or whatever. And
or 6 or 10.
I don't know.
We all lost count.
Exactly. And... I'm not going to play the blame game because I do understand a lot of the things he did, and I understand a lot of the things my sister did. I think they both are...
There were faults on both sides.
Exactly.
It was just a mess, and it should have been over after the second one.
Yeah.
Just to save everyone a lot of...
A lot of time.
A lot of time. A lot of emotional trouble.
I know. And just awkwardness.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, honestly, the first time they went out... That was kind of a bullshitty sort of thing.
Yeah. But after 2 or 3 times, you just kind of call it quits for at least a year or two.
Yeah.
See where you end up.
You don't do this whole breakup, get back together in 2 weeks shit.
Don't do that.
But it's annoying to all of your friends, and apologize to them.
Just don't do it.
Yeah, it's a pain in the ass for everybody.
And plus, nobody's going to change. You're going to be the same people.
Yeah, well, what do you expect?
Nothing different's going to come of it.
If you have to break up with someone to make a point... There's a problem.
Yeah.
Well, personally, if I break up with someone, I'm breaking up with them for it. I don't want to see them. I basically, with all of my exes, I don't like them as people. But I do want them to be happy.
Well, yeah, of course.
Yeah, I mean, I don't hate them. I hate their personalities. I hate the way they act. But I mean,
That's why you don't want to be with them.
Exactly. But I don't hate them as people.
No.
Now, again, you know me, I'm a very hateful person. There are people I do hate as people, and I have no problem saying that.
And I share that with you.
I know. But I want them to be happy, just not around me.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Crybaby, you heard what happened, right?
No.
We went, all of us went back to the high school to check up on the mock trial team. You know, because I'm not going to say I'm kind of a big deal there, but I am in sort of an ironic sense, because I was a slacker, but I was a clown, you know?
Yeah.
And everyone knows me, and I played the narcissist. You know how you play different people? I was the narcissist, joker, slacker,
who could
bullshit my way out of a paper bag.
Yeah.
Wait. That's not a good analogy, is it?
Close enough.
And, you know, we're waiting for one of the other guys to get there, and one of the other people who'd graduated, and she saw me.
Yeah.
Whatever. And then my girlfriend, Twitter suggested her to be my friend, or her friend. So my girlfriend now checked my ex-girlfriend's Twitter, which, that's never a good idea.
No.
But what happened was the day she saw me, All I did was stand there, and she sees me, and it was just weird for me. All I did was, didn't really think about it after, you know.
Just kind of ignore her.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
But she's with a new guy. I think she's dated maybe two or three other guys since me.
Good for her.
I'm proud of her.
Hopefully she's moved on and...
Well, she hasn't. She texted, something like, why, after all the bullshit you put me through, can I only think of the happy times? And one of those other, just... Very, very passive-aggressive, whiny posts. And my question...
annoying.
And, you know, I checked her Facebook, which I...
Again, is not a good idea.
It's... You know what? This one didn't backfire on me.
Really?
Well, not that bad. I mean, But she was with a new guy, and he's more attractive than me. He's much more fit than I am. I doubt he's funnier, because who is? But he looked like a nice guy.
Yeah.
And it's like, why do you have to dwell on something?
Some people are just like that.
And that's fair.
Some people can't get over the past.
And we dated for like 9 months, which is, in high school, that's a long-ass time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I get it, but there's a certain point where you're like, yeah, you know what, we went out, whatever. Let's just, you go your way, I'll go mine, and we'll not talk to each other and make sure everyone's comfortable with it. No reason to get bitter. Now... Take everything I say with a huge grain of salt, because I will make fun of these girls at the drop of a hat, because I have a lot of material. But I'm sure they have shit on me, too. I am definitely not the best... No. I am a good boyfriend. I don't give a shit what anyone says. I am generous, I am loving, and I am a tiger in the sack.
Not that any of them would know.
Actually, that's a lie. I'm awkward.
Not the only one.
Whatever. You know how you get to Fenway Park? Practice. But it's just crazy how needy people can get and how whiny they can get. But that's why I try to ask, you know, I know I've asked you what you think of her, my newest girlfriend.
Yeah.
Newest, dating for 15 months, but current.
Yeah.
I've asked you, I've asked the robot, the Captain Hammer. We just found out our friend has a very large penis after... years and years of making inside jokes about him having a penis so large it needs an intergalactic portal to fit in his pants. Again, it was a stupid high school joke that would take a lot of time to really explain. But we found out it was true. Because he wore skinny jeans and it was trying to get out.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm going to be able to
look. Shocking nonetheless.
Oh, very. I don't think
makes sense now.
Yeah, it does.
The way he acted.
Although, to be honest, if I had a dick that big, I would be whipping it out everywhere. I would do that whole old guy gym locker room walk where I didn't, you know, from my locker to the shower, I would just throw my towel over my shoulder.
I just saw a post on Reddit about that today.
Well, we went to the gym a while ago, and people would do that, and it's all old guys.
It's just because they don't give a fuck anymore.
I know, but I do. Oh, okay, I get that, you're in a gym.
I'm okay with you doing it as long as you don't put your foot up on a bench having your partially hairy scrotum hanging out all over the place.
Okay, but here's a question. If you get out of the shower after the gym, There's a curtain there. It's a stall with a towel rack and then a curtain, then a relatively small shower.
Yeah.
But why can't you grab your towel, dry off with the curtain partially shut so no one has to look at your balls, and then wrap it around you and come out? Not swing the curtain open like you're the most... Just, it's so much confidence. And these guys, there was a pool there, they would, like, leer at the girls. And I'm not talking, like, women, I'm talking, like, teenage girls. Not even 18. I'm talking, like, 16. And it was creepy. But, okay, I can get past a lot of that, but one thing I cannot get past is sitting buck-ass naked on the locker room bench.
At least throw your towel down.
Even so, okay, throw your towel down.
Some people, I like to air dry when I'm doing things.
Fair, but I don't want to do it publicly.
I won't, just because I don't want necessarily other people looking at me or them having to look at me.
It's weird.
I mean, they don't have to, but out of the corner I see something. It just makes everything awkward.
It's your eyes are drawn, and then if they see where you're at, it's just weird for everybody. But
it's like a car accident. Yeah. You don't want to look, but you have to.
But you know what bugs me? You
just catch a glimpse, and you're like, yeah, no more.
When you have, like, small children in the locker room. I'm talking kids who are not young enough to the point where you kind of have to take them into the family room, but I'm talking, like, 9 or 10.
Yeah.
And they're just about as confident as, like, old guys.
Or they don't necessarily know yet.
Yeah, that is...
That you're supposed to wear a towel everywhere.
And it's just creepy.
It's worse than an old man.
Yeah.
It's a little kid.
And I think the law says that if you get within 5 feet of them in the gym, you get to go to prison forever. I think that's a legal precedent. I don't know.
I hope not.
But, you know, it's just proper conduct, you know?
Yeah.
And, I mean, yeah, there are social situations where, like tipping, for example, where, you know, generally, as a rule, normally you're supposed to tip so much, but there's other things like, for instance, when you shake my hand, don't grip my fingers.
Don't cut me off, I'll curtsy on your ass.
Little stuff like that, you know? Or...
Just social norms that nobody understands.
Yeah. Although, I'll tell you, it is fun breaking those social norms.
Sometimes.
We had to do that for a project in sociology. And what I did was sit at the black table, because I was friends with Osei. And he used to sit there, whatever. And we were doing our things at the same time. What I would do is go sit there and start talking to everybody, way too friendly, you know, like I knew them.
Uh-huh.
I was talking about just the weirdest shit, like stuff at the school mainly.
Yeah.
And how fancy it was. And then he was just not looking anyone in the eye. And what happened was they were nice to, we were supposed to break a social norm and talk about the quote unquote sanctions that were exhibited upon us. Okay. Essentially social punishments. And nothing happened. They were very polite, as anyone would be. Yeah. But Osei tells me that when I turned my back, they looked at me and were like, who the fuck is this guy? But then you gotta realize, calling someone out on weird shit is breaking a social norm.
Yeah.
It's just like kids in stores. If a kid's throwing a goddamn hissy fit, you can't say, hey, could you, you know, quiet your kid down? Or
Nobody's gonna go up to a mother that has a kid that's screaming its head off and say, shut your damn kid up before I go do something about it.
Because it's rude.
If you do that, that's rude, or it's harassment, or it's it's a verbal assault on her children. And
well, if you say, before I go do something about it, it's a threat.
That is, but older people, like grandparents and whatnot, like my grandpa, he's not one to necessarily give a shit about any of that.
That's nice.
And out in the laundromat one time, kid was throwing a hissy fit, running around, possibly damaging our stuff, which the mom wasn't doing a damn thing about.
See, that's a line being crossed.
He went out there, grabbed the kid, which might have been a little too far.
That is too far. It's for today, though, but how old's your grandpa?
He's got to be in his 60s or close to 70.
So there's a certain point where, you know, you could slap kids back then,
yeah,
and no one gives a shit.
Because they were being taught a lesson.
Exactly.
And everyone did it.
Yeah.
But he grabbed him down, sat him on top of a chair or a laundry basket or something, and basically gave him not a big scolding, but just a small one, told him to sit there and stop being such a little prick. Not in those terms, but something to that extent.
Yeah.
And the mom just stood there, mouth agape, didn't do anything about it. And then my grandpa went back into the back and went about fixing washers or whatever he was doing. And the kid sat there, shut up, and didn't do a damn thing for the whole time that they were there.
See, and that just goes to show that, you know, kids do need discipline. Now, discipline and physical discipline,
it's a very fine line.
Exactly. Now, personally, I believe that you shouldn't, that hitting kids isn't wrong, but you shouldn't have to. That should be a very last resort.
Like, a spanking is something that should be feared, not necessarily the first thing that you get. Like, getting hit with a wooden spoon when, back in the day, like, my mom and my uncle, if they were being babysat by my aunt, and if they did something bad, they would get chased by her with a wooden spoon, and if they pissed her off, wooden spoon came out, and they'd get cracked over the ass.
And
same thing with a belt. Nobody wanted that.
Oh, Jesus.
Now you got talked to before all of this, and you got many warnings before any of this happened.
Well, most of the time.
More often than not. And you knew it was going to happen, and eventually you learn. If I'm not screwing up, and if I don't keep back-sassing, I'm not going to get hit.
Now, again, is that really what we want to instill, that, hey, the only way you can teach someone is to threaten them with violence?
No.
No. But
and as a last resort, if it's absolutely needed to keep someone in line...
There you go.
Then instill the fear of God.
I remember, you know, aside from like one or two, I was a very, very, I'm not going to say very well behaved, but for the most part I really didn't do anything, and my parents are pretty lax, you know that. But really, aside from a few groundings, I was spanked twice. Once when I was a baby, and my mom did just kind of swap me on the butt thing, because apparently she said I threw a tantrum. Never again. And then once my sister and I, you know, when we were kids, we just fought all the time, constantly, just bickering and bickering. And one time we were fighting, and my dad was in the computer room, and he just comes out and, you know, spanks me. I think it was like 7 or something, and it was just the most unbelievable thing.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, when was that? Like I said, it was a long damn time ago, probably 13 years ago. And that's, he was a lot angrier back then. He's really gotten his stuff together, but again... Mm-hmm. My sister and I aren't as big of shits as we were.
To a certain extent.
Yeah, we're different kinds of assholes. But really, for the most part, the closest I ever got to punishment was 2. Counting to 3, I mean, we're not even that old, we're 20. And so
that would still work on me.
Oh my god. I don't know what happens when you get to 3.
No,
I don't want to know. Exactly. That is scary.
Exactly.
I mean, hell, even when I'm 40, if someone, if my parents started counting to 3, I mean, it'd probably go like, you know, 1. Okay, what are you doing, Mom? Really? Come on, I'm 40.
2.
Oh, okay, you know what? I'm not going to listen to you. I'm 40.
2.5.
Okay, what are you, okay, stop. I we're good. And that's how it would work. But I swear to God, I've seen kids that 1, 2, 2.5, 3, and they stand up to their parents because they know their parents aren't going to do anything.
And see, those parents need to do something, otherwise those kids are going to grow up to be little shits.
You know, I'm going to bash it. I'm going to tell a few stories about how horrible kids are, but I know I've told you this story, and I love it. The girlfriend was working, and in a perfume shop, so you know kids are just going to be fucking around with everything.
Yeah.
Perfume, just spraying shit, and... You know, I was the kind of kid who liked to touch stuff, but I
a lot of kids do.
I was bored.
That's what you do as a kid. You touch everything.
You do.
But all you can do.
Because you can't buy it. And you got to keep yourself entertained.
Well, especially if you're an old child like me. And that's all I had to do.
Exactly. But so what happened is, she was working. Two parents and the kid came in. The parents were looking around, and they'd been looking for like 15 minutes. And the kid was playing his Game Boy or DS or whatever. And, you know, of course, it's a lot easier to keep yourself entertained with something like that. But he was keeping himself entertained. So the girlfriend walks up to him and says, "Hey, buddy, what are you doing?" And he just looks up at her and says, "I'm waiting." How amazing is that?
It's a nice little polite child.
If I have a kid like that, oh my god, I would be so happy.
Not running around breaking things, getting into shit, causing mayhem.
You know what bugs me the most, though? Is when a kid just blatantly starts screaming. Now, if it's a baby, I'm not mad at the kid. I think, to an extent, I mean, I understand if you're a single mom or a single... If you're by yourself with the kids, you can't just drop your shit and go.
Yeah.
But if a baby starts screaming, I want to at least see you trying to do something.
Not just staying in there, going about your business, leaving it alone.
Because, of course, they've tuned it out. They got to listen to it 24/7.
Yeah.
Especially if you're in a restaurant, you can easily just take that baby outside and just kind of rock it and cuddle it and try and calm it down.
Yeah.
Now, I understand it's really inconvenient, but you're the one who brought the kid out to a restaurant anyways. But as I was saying, I went with my mom shopping once. I usually go shopping because there's a free lunch involved. And plus, you know, I like talking with her.
Yeah.
But we get into the produce aisle of Costco, and it's that little freezer.
Uh-huh.
And my mom knows I hate shopping, and whenever we do, I just complain and bitch, you know, just to give her a hard time, and she makes fun of me, and, you know, it's...
You have a good old time with it.
Yeah, it's not like I'm actually bitching. I'm just having fun.
It's a good bonding time.
Exactly. And it's nice when you get to the dynamic with your parents where it shifts from parent to friend.
Uh-huh.
That's a very nice thing. Because it's more of an elder sort of situation where you can talk with them and they can offer guidance, but they're not trying to control you. Now, this doesn't happen. Look at the girlfriend's parents. She's... Jeez.
That's a different story entirely.
But so anyways, we're in Costco, and there's this little girl being pushed around by her grandmother. I was pretty sure she was her grandmother at the time. Later, I saw the mom with them, and I knew.
Yeah.
And she's just sitting in the cart. She's got a big frown on her face, and she just whispers to herself, not bothering anyone. She says, "I want to go home." And I looked at my mom, you know, cracked a joke. "Oh, I know how she feels. Look at me, I'm funny." And then she says it a little louder. And then I just think, oh,
shitstorm.
Oh, yeah. A hurricane of poo. And she just shouts at the top of her lungs, "I want to go home." And she's throwing shit out of the cart. And the grandmother... Now, see, the thing, grandmas generally don't take shit.
No.
I mean,
heavens no.
In my experience, a grandmother will spoil the hell out of you. She is the nicest person. She'll do whatever you want, but she will not take shit off you.
Mm-mm.
But this the grandmother's not doing a damn thing. She's just keeping quiet, just loading the shit back up. And then they get out of the produce freezer, and we can still hear them. Then she meets back up with the mom. There's the grandmother, the mom, the daughter, who's probably like 6 or 7, maybe even 9, and a boy who looked like he was 4. And then the girl just loses her shit even more. She is screaming at the top of her lungs. You can see people looking at her sideways, and no one says a damn thing.
Just not right.
And then my mom tells me, when she went to get LASIK, she's telling me the story about how this kid wanted a game or something at Walmart, and he was shouting at his mom and threatening her. He apparently he said something like, "If you don't get me this, you're gonna get it when we get home," or some weird threat like that.
See, where does a kid get off being able to do that?
I don't know.
Not get punished.
See, that's the time. Well, it's because no one wants to punish their kids. I mean, I would assume, now again, I'm not a parent, but I would assume that, you know, you wanna spoil your kids, you wanna make them happy, but then, you know, if you spoil them too much...
Make them have a better life than you had.
Yeah, and I mean, even with the girlfriend or my sister, I mean, it's different, obviously, but
yeah.
I treat them to things. Because I have the money, and generally they don't have as much as I do. And I want to make them happy. I like seeing them smile. You know, just doing nice things. And I understand wanting to do that for your kid. But if you do it too much, the first time you say no, shitstorm. But if you have the audacity to threaten your mother, holy Jesus. Although, the funny thing is, I was getting pissed at my mom who was telling the story because she's one of those people, when she tells a story, she gets too into it.
Yeah.
She likes to reenact the story. Like, she'll tell me a story at the bar where someone gets up in someone's face, and she pretends she's the person yelling, getting up in my face.
Uh-huh.
And I used to be like, you know, just let her tell the story. But now, I tell her how much it bugs me. But, you know, she doesn't do it as much anymore, and, you know, there's a certain point where you talk enough, because we work at the same place, you get to the point where you can switch stories, and it's fun, and there's more of a rapport there when you share a job and you're talking about work. But when she was telling me the story about the kid in Walmart, she was imitating his scream. Yeah, in my ear.
That's crossing the line.
And, you know, again, we at that point, we were still, it was the friend dynamic more so.
Yeah.
Because I was going with her to get her eyes checked and everything, and just running errands. It's not, "Oh, hey, come with me, because we can't leave you alone." It's like, "Do you want to?" And I said, "Yeah, I'll keep you company." But I had to stop her before she could even finish her story, and I said, "Mom, you are really just pissed. I am more pissed off at you than I am at the kid." I said, why do you do this? And, you know, I didn't want to get too mean, but screaming in my ear that many times, it's going to push me over the edge.
Yeah.
And she said, because I want you to be as... I want to... What'd she say? Something like, I want you to feel the frustration I did. Something along those lines. And I said, yeah, I am, but I'm not feeling it at the kid. I'm feeling it at you. And, you know, again, once you reach that dynamic where you can kind of tell people what annoys you, it's so much easier to talk.
Yeah.
She doesn't do it as much anymore, but we have inside jokes about the bar, and it's kind of replaced that. I would assume because she doesn't feel like she has to put me... She doesn't have to paint the situation as much. I don't know. I feel like I could be the perfect parent, but I would assume so does everybody. So we should probably sign off so that we have something to talk about next time.
Sounds good for me.
Yeah. Thank you. This has been Up Late with Too Much Caffeine. I'm Up Late.
And I'm Too Much Caffeine.
Have a good night.